There is not one way to be diverse. It's what we call intersectionality.
Why do you think does it matter for our society and our democratic principles?
And I believe we can have a positive impact. We can make the planet and the society progress.
Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast.
Dear listeners, welcome to our latest episode of Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast. Today we'll dive into a topic that might be new to many of you, but it's absolutely essential for companies to embed into their strategies. We will talk about brand inclusion. Put simply, it means ensuring that brands truly reflect the diversity of people and make everyone feel seen and valued. Why does that matter for business and even for our society as a whole? To explore this, I'm excited to welcome my guest today, Agnes T. Agnes has been in leading roles in Henkel's consumer brands marketing department for more than 30 years. She has witnessed countless trends come and go, so she's the perfect person to explain what brand inclusion really means and why it matters now more than ever. Welcome to the podcast, Agnes.
Thank you, Janine, and hello to all listeners.
Great to have you. Agnes, please explain first for our common understanding, what does brand inclusion mean?
Yeah, sure. So brand inclusion, I like to say it's more about building more inclusive brands. Building brands is the core work of marketing teams. And building inclusive brands means that we have to make sure that our products, or innovations or advertising campaigns can really represent the maximum of people out there. It should be representative and accessible to as many as possible. Why? Because our audience, our consumers, they are diverse. They are coming from diverse communities and culture. So building more inclusive brands should be at the core of building marketing.
So before we go deeper in that, would you call it a trend or is it more than that?
I believe that it's a new fundamental shift. It's true that when I started decades ago in marketing, it was all about selling products and making your brands loved. But now I feel a shift, and probably accelerated in the last 7 years, that companies are taking social responsibility of what they do. Not only for the environment or the planet, but also for the living communities. So it should be there to stay. Our planet is burning. Not every people has the same access to quality of life, but Henkel and our brands, yes, I believe this is our social responsibility to build more inclusive brands and making sure everyone is feeling seen and valued and respected.
Yeah, but you would say there's a development from pure sales to social responsibility, and you mentioned that it started 7 years ago. Why do you think it started?
So it started probably before. I'm really talking about my personal experience of doing marketing at Henkel. I feel indeed like probably after the pandemic, it accelerated to find in what we are doing a bit more of meaning, to be more meaningful about selling the Henkel brands. And I was at the same time appointed a diversity and equity inclusion officer for Henkel consumer brands. And I said, yes, I'm there to support our employees, but also as a marketeer, I wanted to leverage our brands because we have consumer brands that are reaching millions of households and people. And I believe, okay, let's use also our brands to make positive impact on society. And we have to change. And yes, probably that was right after the pandemic for Henkel again. And here we said, okay, we need to start, but we need to start in a more conscious way and more educated way. And it's all about brand and brand building. It starts from the brands.
Yeah. And when we compare brand purpose and other diversity efforts, how does it differ?
You put exactly the right word. It all starts with a brand purpose. What is a brand purpose is the deeper reason a brand exists. a brand exists to sell products, yes, but more and more generation and this society who is looking for meaning and for conscious decisions, they want more from a brand. So it's the why the brand exists. Also because it's a differentiator. You know, when you talk about shampoo or detergent for your laundry, you have many offers out there. You have also private labels or distributor brands. So it's really essential for companies selling brands to elevate the value of the brand. And this can work and we can achieve by building and defining brand purpose. Diversity effort would be just ticking box, you know, would be an exercise to say, oh, in my next campaign, I will show multiple mix of faces of diverse cast, and then I'm good. No, it should start from defining the brand purpose, which is different. It's different from one brand to the other, but it's a kind of a commitment. What kind of positive impact the brands wants to make on society. And it's a commitment that is long-term. It's not a tactic or one-year campaign. It should be long-term and consistent. So the crucial work the marketing team have been doing in the last decade, but again, accelerated at Henkel in the last 5-7 years, is to define authentic brand purpose.
So it would be great to talk about some really concrete brand examples in the Henkel cosmos. Which ones come directly to your mind?
So directly to my mind, Got2b is the brand. Got2b is a brand selling product for styling the hair. And we have observed that over the past years, this brand is really loved by people having type 4 hair, so which means very curly, coily hair. Also a brand loved by the queer community. We observed that for some drag queen show or different way to live in the night or style the hair, this brand was like an iconic brand with our yellow, very famous yellow hairspray. So based on this, we said there is something in that brand where people feel respected and understood in terms of hair needs. So the purpose we created is the fact to create a space for everyone to feel proud, to feel safe and be yourself. Which means this brand is supporting a lot of minorities that sometimes are undermined or not well represented. And we really support the communities by having a lot of co-creators working with us, coming from the queer community or from the Afro-American hair type. So we are more and more working with them and for them, because we are not doing it from the headquarters of the company, but really listening to the needs and being close to those people. Also, the fact that Got2b for years is funding and participating to the Pride Month and the Pride initiatives, again this year in more than 20 cities around the world. So the brand is there and support the cause and making sure people feel seen and proud about who they are. So that's a brand purpose. And you see, it's very different from one brand to the other. I could name you some brand purpose on Schwarzkopf also. But each time you have to define what's the authentic brand purpose. And once you have done that, you develop initiatives, innovations and advertising campaign, really bringing to life this purpose.
That sounds really great. So how do these examples of brand inclusion connect with Henkel's corporate purpose?
I think it connects perfectly. And the start of everything is our company purpose, to be a pioneer at heart for the good of generation. And every word counts. But what I like is the good of generations, because as I said, the company has a social responsibility to make positive impact on the planet, but also on the living communities, and especially for the future generation. I read yesterday something like, today the generation is planting a tree and tomorrow a generation will benefit from the shadow. So it's long term and we have to think ahead. And this Henkel purpose is really talking also about how we can be more inclusive. And inside the company, we really foster a culture of inclusion, of belonging. It's part of our values. how you manage a team as a leader, but as a marketer, I would say important how you manage a brand. You have to think and to include the maximum of consumers today and for tomorrow.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it couldn't be more important than right now to have a strong purpose that paves the way for brand inclusion. So why do you think does it matter for our society and our democratic principles?
It's not about politics, but I believe companies, they have a social role. They are employing millions or thousands of employees. They are reaching millions of consumers when doing an advertising campaign. So there is a responsibility. And I believe we can have a positive impact. We can make the planet and the society progress. And that's very important. And I would say a new dimension to marketing. Again, 20 years ago, we were not so much about that. We were more about proving that our products were the best. So kind of egocentric. Now we should be purposeful. We should be inclusive and thinking beyond our financial performance. Financial performance can also depend from how we act as a branded good. I believe we should be a role model, first for our teams, for our employees, because our teams, they have to be proud to work for Henkel. And especially the younger generation, they are looking for jobs that are meaningful, where they feel they can have a positive impact. And that's why the brands play also this role. And we can be proud to work for brands that are not only selling stuff, but bringing progressive message. So these responsibilities for our employee, but also out there for the consumers. So that's very important for a company. And I believe a company can only gain from that.
Mm. Yeah, but you know better than me, maybe, that there's always the question outside, what's in it for a company, also in a financial way, maybe. So what can a company gain when it pushes for brand inclusion?
A company can gain a value, a better value for the brands. That's a better value for the company. Why create value? Because when a brand is more inclusive or standing for better impact on the society, it has a lot of positive impact. First, internally, there is a pride of teams working on certain brands, especially when those brands are purposeful, are making more of a stand on making the society better, more than only selling products. And I observe it, especially on the younger generation starting in marketing. They want purpose in their life, they want a meaning, and also they want to work with companies that are seeing beyond financial results, but also a company that bring to life their purpose, exactly like Henkel is doing. So that's a gain for internal pride, but also for then consequently employer reputation. And then talking more brands, the more you have value in your brands, the more you can differentiate. The more you can price your product not only for their functional benefit, but also for the brand meaning. And we know people can easily disengage from brands that are not behaving nicely or that do not mean anything to them. So creating value at all stages of the company, from the employee pride to the employer reputation, but also on the market, how brands are valorized by end consumers. This is very important, and that's only gain I can see.
So, but let's talk about the other side of the coin. What are the challenges and setbacks you and your team had to deal with?
Challenges, we have a lot, and I would say first is internally being aware and upskilled. First challenge is to understand what we have to do by building a brand purpose and bringing it to life to be more inclusive. It's easy to say, it's a good intent, but very difficult to realize because you have really to define authentic brand purpose and to bring it authentically and consistently to life. The risk, if you don't, is you are just tactical. And consumers, they are very fast and very equipped, especially thanks to social media, to identify when a brand or company are very tactical and is just ticking box and is not authentic. So that's a challenge. You have to be authentic and also upskill everyone, upskill our internal teams, upskill our agencies and partners. because it's not so easy as ticking box. So you need to be persistent, as I said, to work for the long term, and also sometimes to fight against internal voices that could say, oh, but this campaign, we will not please everyone, or it's very advanced, are you sure? Or it's not selling enough, it's not hard selling. Each time we build more emotional message. Yes, it's not hard selling short term, but it's the long term success and reputation of the brand. So you have really to stand firm on your conviction that brand success is not only short-term sales, but more how the brand will build his reputation and credibility to be a purposeful brand. And also you can have internal doubt, internal forces saying those messages, they are too emotional, we need more rational, hard-selling benefits. Both are correct. It's not either or. The challenge is to balance correctly in the campaign what are the rational message on your hair, on your clothes, what you bring, what is the performance of your product, but also embedding it in a more purposeful brand message and other type of advertising that are maybe not on TV, but more on social media, on PR, on advocacy campaign. You know, we have many tools to make a brand speak. And I believe we need in all those channels to balance what are the more rational message with the more emotional and purposeful message. And that's a challenge because that's not an easy task. So you need upskilling of us marketing, but also partners and agencies to really reach this this good balance in order to make it a holistic approach.
And I guess it's absolutely normal that there are different feedbacks when a company takes a strong stance or introduces something new. So thank you very much for your insights, how you handle the feedback, the internal feedback and the feedback from the community as well. Let's have a future look on the topic of brand inclusion at the end of this episode. What is the next big thing coming up on the horizon? And which topic do you feel will be an important one in the future when we look at brand inclusion?
In the future, it will be all again about balancing those forces of doing good, but also staying competitive and staying financially performant. So that's this balance will stay. Even more that I believe we will more and more track and measure the more emotional side of brands, which is today not perfectly equipped. You know, we know how to track sales, but how to track a brand image, a brand reputation, we will learn and we will have better tools because that will be the real factor of success. I believe also, and I was telling you, you have to be authentic and to really know the communities, which is going a bit against being a global company. So we have to be close to regional realities or local communities, but also staying consistent to a global brand image. We will not multiply brands. We have big brands that are acting globally, like Persil or Pervol or Got2Be, Schwarzkopf. Okay, it's global brands. We have global equity, global purpose, but we will need to adapt to local voices or regional consumers. So this is a contradiction that we will have to deal with. And then let's talk about AI. You know, AI or generative AI is helping creative minds and to develop campaigns, is helping, is supporting. But AI should be trained. And training AI to picture or to portray authentic communities, authentic people, also having very diverse dimensions, you know, there is not one way to be diverse. It's what we call intersectionality. We all have diverse dimension in each of us. And if we go with basic portray or very stereotype portray, which AI tends still to do, we will have, again, backlash and problem of authenticity. So we have to train creative tools responsibly and really consciously understanding the diversity of the population and human being. And I don't have the solution, of course, but I see it as a future challenge for the AI tools that we will work with. It will not replace our emotions, our brains, or brain steering, but it can support the way we want to picture and portray advertising campaigns, for example. So that's, yes, one of the future challenges, but should not divert us from being convinced that steering brand today should be towards more inclusive brands.
Perfect. Such an important talk with you. Thank you so much for being our guest, and all the best and lovely greetings to Paris from where you are dialed in today. This wonderful city. I really love the development of it under Mayor Anne Hidalgo, but that is another topic, I guess. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janine.
And if you enjoyed this episode of Fritz for Future, make sure to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating. Do you have topics or guest suggestions? Share your ideas in the reviews. We'd also love to hear your feedback. Send us an email at fritzforfuture@henkel.com. For more episodes and updates, visit henkel.com/podcast. And until next time, take care. Hear you soon.
Fritz for Future, Henkel's Sustainability Podcast.